Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Emerson, aged 11, in Sioux Falls, North Dakota, loves writing letters. She writes prolifically. Usually her letters include art, jokes, stories about her younger brother, mentions about her obsession with Taylor Swift, and enough of the questions to make sure there's a reply. At least that's what her father says. Recently, Taylor Swift actually responded, but Emerson wanted to make sure that her postal carrier, Doug, got some appreciation for the work that he did in regular correspondence by writing one of these letters to him. The letter included stories of her brother, a mention of Taylor Swift, and even a joke. Maybe you know this one. Why do you never see elephants hiding in trees? Because they're really good at it. The next day, a package arrived at Emerson's house with some stamps and two letters. Doug and his supervisor, Sarah, had both written back to Emerson out of sincere gratitude for her letter-writing campaign, and they began a correspondence. Sarah, the supervisor, had then shared Emerson's note of thanks with the Postal Service and the postal carriers in the Western jurisdiction. Responses started pouring in from all of the Western United States. Postal carriers and others began to become pen pals with Emerson. Emerson responds to these letters one by one, consistent with the same commitment that she had when she had just a few pen pals. Even though now she receives box loads of letters, she wants to stay connected, especially in this time in which you and I are living sheltered in place. She wants to share this kind of love with people she previously didn't know. 5 weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ with Easter Sunday. As Jesus appeared to the disciples multiple times since that Easter day, each time Jesus sought to remind them of something he taught them before, to comfort them, to give them guidance. In the meantime, while they waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Prior to the verses that David read for us today in the gospel, you might recall that Jesus amazes those disciples with some fishing advice. The scene opens in the same way that Peter's relationship began with Jesus years ago. Peter and the others in a boat, they had fished all night long and caught nothing. Jesus urges them to lower their nets one more time. And of course, that time their net is overfilled. The miracle gives Jesus and the disciple, Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved, the indication, the confidence that the mystery man is indeed the Christ, the Jesus they knew. And Peter's response is instantaneous. He throws his clothes back on and jumps overboard, bounds towards the figure on the beach who he knows to be Jesus. After breakfast, the teaching continues in earnest. Three times in the pre-resurrection days did Peter deny Jesus. Three times did he betray him. Three times did he say, "I don't know this man," around the fires while Jesus was on trial. And he had thought after his death, there was no chance for repentance or reconciliation, no chance for relationship rebuilding. But Jesus is the eternal hope and love. Jesus, who models love where hope seems lost, turns now compassionately towards Peter. The echo of the rooster's crow still possibly reverberating within Peter's soul is then reverberating towards hope. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. About 25 years ago, Dr. Wynn Arn out of the Institute of the Church Growth surveyed about 1,000 congregations, asking clergy and congregants alike what the purpose of church is. 89% of lay folks said the purpose of church is to take care of the needs of the members. The remaining 11% said it was to reach the world with the gospel. For the clergy, we'll contrast it here. 90% of pastors said that the purpose of the church was to reach the world for Christ. And the remaining 10% was the import was on caring for the needs of those within the church. Both pastors and lay people alike are apt to say the church is loving and caring with either a focus on members or the community outside the walls of the church. Friends, it's easy to first focus on those who are closest to you and become so involved there, there's work to be done that you don't get a chance to care well for others. We're reminded in this question Jesus asked Peter that our call is to love and to care for those beyond the walls of the church as well. Our love is out of evangelism to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and our care is from fellowship and compassion. One of the disciplines of a disciple is to continue onward, to move beyond, to let the journey unfold even when there are unexpected turns and twists, to continue doing the next good thing in loving and caring for others. In this time of shelter at home, in our house, we've been watching just a few more movies. I know that our family's not alone in this. Streaming services report that there's about a 35 to 50% increase in their streaming hours, especially between 10 in the morning and 5 in the evening. I won't think too much about that. Netflix has added about 16 million new viewers as of about last month, and there's increases in other platforms as well. We recently watched the movie Onward. I wonder if you've seen it too. It's a feel-good family movie produced by Disney and Pixar. Two elfin brothers who go on an epic journey to reconnect with their father. Ian, the younger brother, receives along with his older brother Barley a gift from their father who died before he was born. And the mother held this in trust until the 16th birthday. With some magic, the father can return for 24 hours. But you all know not everything goes as planned. The brothers discover early they have differences in their approach to travel and addressing challenges, even the ways in which they think about one another. Like the self-conscious and awkward people who are everywhere, Ian practices over and over again before squeaking out an invitation to his recent acquaintances for some birthday cake. It's his birthday after all, at his house. And just as he manages to get those words out, his older brother shows up complete with embarrassing costume, weird voices, and a whole charade, offering to drive he and his new buddies home. You can imagine he is horrified by these cringy antics, and he goes home without the new friends. Just do the next good thing to set him on a steady course becomes, throughout the movie, what they learn to do. Now, along the way, there's plenty of vital discoveries. I'll leave it for you to watch, that he makes about himself and about relationships. Heads up, for those of you with younger kids, it is PG for some action and peril that comes from fire-breathing dragons. But in our unique times, we too find ourselves journeying onward as well. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. You know, friends, going onward requires a certain kind of faith, the kind I think that Paul was writing about to the church at Ephesus. He wrote, "I've heard about your faith and about your love of all of the saints, your way of living and of going onward that catches the attention of those that are around you. They cannot help but see how Jesus is already in you. May God put that kind of undeniable spirit of wisdom and revelation within you, so that with the eyes of your heart, you know the hope to which you are called." You know, moving onward, you and I are called to a hope, the kind that is a part of our inheritance, the power of God. Hope that's not exclusive to the foolhardy or the optimistic, but God's sustenance and inheritance as we are on our journeys. And it occurred to me this week that some of us have been on these journeys for a long, long time. Do you know that in our congregation, we are blessed to have 33 people, I believe, who have been on this journey for 8 or more decades, 24 people who are 80 years or better, 8 people who are 90 years or better, and 1, God bless Mrs. Lena Douglas, who is 100 years old. What wisdom, what hope there is among us. We give thanks to God for these examples of the longevity of faith and hope. We also give thanks to God for the quadrenniums. Often in the United Methodist Church, we talk about things in 4 years, the quadrenniums of years in these journeys. We celebrate today with our college and our high school graduates. We'll do it later in the service. As our college and high school graduates approach milestone celebrations, there's a particular kind of bravery this particular year. In unprecedented ways, communities have been surrounding them from a distance. Drive-by parades, care packages on the doorsteps, and Zoom graduations. All kinds of adaptations to express care and love in these unusual times. Friends, I think, in fact, I'm pretty convinced, this is what our faith calls us to. In the meantime, we press onward with the gift of hope that God has called us to, an imperishable and glorious inheritance, that Christ is present, bringing us resurrection here and now as well as then and there. Go on, do the next good thing. showing the love and the care of God. Participate in God's way here on earth. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.